Our message today, I want to say, first of all, rejoice, my brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ. For if you have received Christ as your personal Savior, there is some good news for you today. No matter what you are going through, no matter what you are facing, there is still some good news for you today. You can rejoice here on earth. You still can rejoice. Now, you know, down here on earth where we have all the problems, but you still can rejoice. Doesn't matter. You still can rejoice. And I say that for this reason, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, what it states. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, what it states. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, or since you were raised with Christ, how many here are born again? Okay, all right. All right, now, so this means since you are saved, you raise your hand, you say you're born again, right? So this message is to you. And this is where I'm talking about getting our rejoicing. See, what I'm saying, when I say things and I show you the word of God, I'm saying them ahead of, then I'm gonna come right back and show you what I said in the word of God. But if we don't take heed to the word of God, we're going to show the world that I can be saved and I can go through my things and I'm the most miserable person ever been. And see, a matter of fact, we are in and out of that ASAP mentality. All right? But here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit instructs us to take note to the word of God, you better believe it, you and I need to take note to the word of God. Because there's medicine for our sickness. There's medicine for our temperature if we would take it. See, I can present this every Sunday. The word of God can go for it. You can listen to your radio preachers and you can read the word of God. But if I don't begin to assault within my soul the truth of the word of God, it's not going to apply to me in such a way that I can exercise the benefits of the medicine of the word of God. See, I'm tired of having all of this power for medicine, but it ain't doing me no good. Is it that it's not as potent as God said it is? Do God know that his word is not working? The word of God that he left here for us, it ain't working? To remove it and send us another word. He need to add something to the scriptures. He need to take something out of the scriptures. But I don't know what it is that it ain't working. But I want to let you know, the word of God has never lost its power. You see, you get the benefit of the word of God when you meditate on the word of God. You see, but you ain't gonna begin to meditate if you don't believe it works. You see, I know there's things pulling us this way, pulling us that way, pulling us that way, pulling us that way. And most things are pulling us down. Am I right about it? If it's gonna pull on you, it's pulling you down. And some of us is pulling us all the way around, but pulling us down. But there's medicine. See, those things of the devil, the flesh, and the world system can tug on me and pull me down, but I know I need to look up. I not only do I need to look up, I need to set my mind. See, if I don't take this literally, if I quote a scripture, we quote scripture ever since we've been in junior church, ever since we have been beat up so bad with sickness, beat up so bad with frustration, beat up so bad with indecision from people and other people. But I'm telling you something, the word of God works. It ain't the word of God that have lost its potency. We won't follow the directions on the bottle. There's some medicine they tell you, take with food. But you're going to take it, but you ain't going to eat no food. And it's going to tear your stomach up. There's some that say it work better, you take it at bedtime. Am I right about it? But you're going to take it the way you want to take it. But those who have the education and the experience about medicine, those doctors who understand how these things work in our body system, we go to them for their information so we can get well. We go to God to get well, y'all. But a lot of us are still sick. It's not that he didn't give us the medicine. You won't take it. You say that old crazy Rick's preach. He's been preaching for a long time. But hey, we understand preachers preach. I come if I want to. Don't come, don't want to. Throw that mess out the window. It's too late in the evening for keep thinking that way. Just take me out of the equation. But when I'm preaching the word of God, realize that the word of God was given by the Holy Spirit. It's not man's wisdom. Even the godly men that were used, they were just ink pens used by the Holy Ghost. Ask Peter. And what I'm saying, we are not reaping the benefits of what you got in Jesus. And then we're blaming it on him. Oh, you ain't got to say it. He ain't say it doing me no good. I've been miserable last year, year before that, and whatever. It just seemed like, oh. The world that's under the little G going to do its thing as long as you are here. See, now you are considered an intruder. You see what you're talking about? See, Jesus says that you are in the world, but you are no longer of the world. See, you and I get in trouble. That I'm born again now, I get myself in trouble because sometimes I forget I'm not of it anymore. There was a time I was in it and of it, but he quickened me. Ephesians say, he made me alive. I'm no longer a zombie. I'm walking, I'm talking, but I am not alive. But in Ephesians, ye who were dead and in trespasses and in sin, he quickened, he made me alive. If I'm alive, why don't I act like it? I'm not dead anymore. I'm telling y'all, it's in here, y'all. I'm serious. I don't know how to put it. Because that other stuff ain't going to work. It's in here. Can you trust? It's okay. Okay, let's get back where I was at. You got it on the, where was it? I got to a point and I stopped. I'm still in Colossians 3:1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. And watch this now. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That is that honorable position where he's sitting. Set your mind on things above. Watch this now. Not on things on earth. Now what God is saying, I know you got trouble on earth. Look at the two destinations he's speaking about, on earth and above.
And I know he's talking about heaven because he's speaking about the right hand of God, where Christ is sitting, my Redeemer. So he's cognizant of what's going on in earth. But he's telling us you got to set your mind on things above if you're born again. Now, I like to say this. Every now and then, we need a readjustment. Wake up. Look at your neighbor. Look at him. Say, yes, every now and then, we need a readjustment. Because my mind ain't always stayed on things above. And I get myself in big trouble when it's not stayed. But God is telling us, you need to set it on things above. And I'm glad that we can reset. Because you know, sometimes it ain't set there if we tell the truth. Huh? But watch this. Since you were born again, if that's who you are, since that's who you are, God said, I'm talking to you. See, because the majority is not born again. Their minds is set on the earth. They are in the earth, they are of the earth, and their lifespan is all they got that they can get their little glory or have a good time because that's all they got. Because if you're not born again and of the age of accountability, your next trip is going to be hell. Walk with me now. So God is telling me the little hell that you may feel you're going through with sickness, loneliness, problem, situation, family members, crisis, whatever the name of yours is. And I can't stamp the name. You know the name. He said, but get it off the earth. Get it off the earth. The Holy Spirit said, I gotta tell you where your mind should be all wrapped up in and at. And it ain't on earth. Set it. Wait a minute. I can't do that. I know a whole lot of Christians that are miserable all their life. And I know Sister So-and-so been saved 100 years. And she was evil, mean, and I don't know whether it ran her crazy. And I know she was a godly person because she always read her Bible. Well, she could quote them scriptures. God says, set it. A lot of our problems, and we don't know it, is because your Christian mind is not set on glory. It's set right here. And I shall not be moved. But I'm complaining to God. I'm groaning and moaning, talking to God. I'm doing everything to God, blaming God. God ain't hurting me. Guys, wait. You want me to hurt you? Did you hurt me? Did you hurt me when I say where to set your mind? You may begin to hurt me when your mind's set in the right place. Because that's where I'm seated, on the right hand of God, my Father. Oh, man. Oh. Lord have mercy. See, if I give me one person, say, Pastor, I'll follow you because I need some heavenly blessing. And Pastor, I'm honest. If I've been doing it wrong, no. Tune everybody else out, Pastor. Focus that word on me. Because I want to get in touch with God. And not only do I want to get in touch with God, when I get in touch with God, I want to know that I'm in touch with God. I want to have a conversation with him. I want to talk with him. And I want him to talk with me. See, the Spirit of God is still speaking to the church today. But you got to give him your attention. You see, because if God tell you to set your mind, you never set your mind. There are some things you are missing down here. And God, you are missing it
Because your mind is set in the wrong place if you're born again. Now, this is where the confusion comes in. Your cohorts that may not be saved, their mind is set on the right place. Huh? They need to be born again. See, they don't qualify since you've been born again. If you've been raised. See, it's talking to a special people group. Now, once those cohorts who are not born again, and tomorrow they get born again, the same info will go out to them. Now, since you're saved today, set your mind. See, no matter when I came in to this Christian family, you may have gotten saved ahead of me. Huh? Your mind should have been set on heaven. And I came in a Johnny come lately. After you got saved, Janice, I come along, God save old Rick. Same set your mind. And I found out, Janice, when I set my mind, God began to use me. God began to move me, move things for me, move those mountains, those things that God would speak. And then I could listen to him. And not listen, only listen. I began to hear him wander. I began to hear him tell me what to do. And when I begin to do it, I begin to see success, success, success. I'm talking about spiritual things now. This church, how to do it with no money, all of that. How to keep in tune with God and folk will come and pay off the van. And I don't ask nobody for nothing. I'm not that kind of person. If you knew me long enough, if anybody have known Rich long enough, I don't go beg nobody for nothing. If you knew me long enough, you can give that testimony. I give stuff away, but I don't ask nobody for nothing. Tell the truth on me. But I heard God. But I tell you something. Sometimes I'm a little slow for my stuff. But when I heard God tell me to do something, I'm not slow. Because I believe at that moment, when God is leading me, I can walk right through walls. I mean, I'm fearless. When I go knock on the vendor's door, I'm fearless. Because he's sending me. You got to set your mind where your Savior is. See, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Why don't you just come on, Lord Jesus? That's all right. He's coming back. But until he come, you need to occupy. And part of your occupying is setting your mind. Well, I set my mind when I get there, but right now I'm going to check y'all out. See where y'all at. Help me, Lord. Watch this. Anybody with me? I'm just excited. Okay, let me finish reading. I didn't finish reading. He got it up here. You set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Now, you didn't only tell me where to set my mind. You also told me where not to set my mind. And see, here's the thing. Because I don't obey this above, and I set my mind on earth, and he told me not set, but I do set. And I'm miserable. And I don't know why I'm miserable. Maybe God don't love me. What's your mindset? Then you list all your problems. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know what your mindset is. That all you got is a problem? That's all that concerns me. That's what my mindset right now. But that ain't all you got. Let me tell you something. When God told us to set our mind, he ain't asked us how many problems we had. He didn't say, you who have problems, don't set your mind above. You who are saved and you got problems, don't set yours. He didn't say that, did he? See, let me tell you why he didn't say that. He said, when you got Jesus, you ain't got no problem. You just don't know it. Man, isn't it amazing that I maybe get two amens on that? I don't get that. Brother Park, I don't get that. I didn't say you got rich. I said, if you got Jesus, you ain't got no problem. If you, those who don't have Jesus, they got a problem. Okay. He says, not on things above. He said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now watch this. When see, you don't even know your true life because your true life is hidden. That's the word told a lie. See, when Christ died, you died. Christ resurrect, you resurrect. He says, when Christ, who is our what? Life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, what I want to show you, the Holy Spirit, and what's going on with the phone? Can we cut it off? Oh, man. You said the enemy would do things? I mean, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. Oh, that ain't my wife's, is it? It's not hers. Is there a pocketbook? I don't know. Okay. I understand, but we, it has, these things that happen, we'll get a call or something like that, not saying, because I lose my concentration. And when folk hanging on, there are some that's hanging on because they want this information. And I lose my chance. Those who care, it's hard to get back sometime because my mind drifts away and I was right on a roll with where God was taking me. But I thank God for Jesus anyway, okay? Now, the Word of God is very important, y'all. How many think the Word of God is important? Okay, all right. Okay, now, not on things on earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God when Christ, who is your life, then you also will appear with him in glory. Look at what God already know about you and me, who he says set your mind on him. Look what he know about us. He know about our life. He know where it is hid. He know when Christ, we looking for Christ, when Christ to appear, our life is in him, and we're going to appear, we're going to reign with him. All these things that we got. You see, God is real heavy on the eternal, not the temporal. See, the temporal are going to be destroyed. The temporary things are going to be destroyed, all right? So God is saying, but don't you fear, because I've given you eternal life. Are you with me? Now, all right, hold that in mind, and however you dissect that word of God and take those pieces out of those scriptures and set them aside and then write you a paragraph beside it, for yourself, that's okay if you're a Bible student like that. But I'm going to move on, but I want you to hold to this, some of the things that said here, because we're going to move right on into some other things. The Bible declares we are saved to the uttermost because our Savior has an ongoing ministry of intercession. And this ministry has several things characterizing it. And we're going to take a look at just a few. Are you following me? Are you following? Big Mama, you following me? You see, God is saying to us, let me get back here. Let's start. I tell you, let me get back here. You see, he says, "Okay, the number one thing I want to look at. I want to look at that. One of the characteristics is it is a continual intercession. Okay, I. But watch where we just came from. We just came from Colossians, didn't we? And God told us where to set our minds, didn't he? But now we're talking about, and also told us where Christ was and where he was sitting. Am I right about it, Brother Dave? But now, this is where all the rejoicing should come in. No matter what we're going through, you can rejoice. I'm not going to say you're always going to be happy, but you can have a joy in your soul that no imp, no demon can take from you. When you got a perfect understanding of the scriptures. So that's why I don't do a lot of hooping and hollering. I try to teach. Because I'm telling you something. When you get the truth of the word of God, you can stand. But if you get a lot of other stuff, that other stuff God didn't say. But the scripture is thus saith the Lord. Those old wild fables, they may be good for to comfort you a little bit, but they ain't going to do nothing for your soul. But the word of God, God's going to bless you. All right? And like I said, I just want to free you a little bit because, you know, this word will whoop us to pieces. Hebrews 7:25. Says, therefore, he is also able to save to the what? The uttermost, those who come to God. See this? Through him. Talking about Jesus Christ. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, see, your salvation and my salvation is no ordinary salvation. You can't get no more of a salvation than we already got in Jesus. Because when he saved us, Sister Janet, he saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. See, when I got, watch this. When I got the uttermost salvation, you can't knock at my door and bring me something lesser. Everything that you bring to my door is lesser. Because I already got the uttermost. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all these. See, anytime you devalue Christ, you ain't doing me no favor. When I set my mind on things above from the word of God, I can discern what you're saying to me. See, people can use the scriptures and twist them. Truth twisters. But God says you got to cut it straight. You got to rightly divide the word of God. Oh, that was Bible they did down at the tent. Because he gave us a scripture, but did he handle it right? Oh, I ain't know it said that. I'm telling y'all something. See, I love you. That's why I want to try to do it the best of my ability with the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? And for some reason, he keep letting me stand. He keep letting me do it. I want to free somebody. Because I know down here on earth it's kicking you. It's kicking you. But you also about to know the earth is kicking me, but it shouldn't be kicking my mind. Because my mind ain't stayed on where I'm being kicked. My mind is stayed on where Christ is petitioning like a lawyer to his father for me. And why is uttermost? He ain't gonna die. He's living on and on. And the intercession has to be a continual thing. Because you know, every now and then we sin. Huh? Every now and then we get weak. Every now and then we have infirmities. And we need somebody who can be touched, who can understand my weakness. See, he don't even have to pray to intercede. He himself, he's the embodiment, same as that, the father of the intercession. Y'all about to get out of that daze. Let's rise in our Christianity. We're so lackadaisy. We so down on the low levels of this thing. No wonder the world just kick us up, down, and all around. And we act like we don't have a good friend in Jesus. My son said to me a while back, Dr. Lamont here, Daddy, you always trying to, I guess he said it in a way, maybe he can explain when we get back, pick somebody up. That word, you won't let a man stay in his misery. I, no, no. He said something, he can break it down. But I like that because it, I guess it came a point with him. You know, when Michelle Obama, Slocum, she said, when they go, come on, y'all heard it. Somebody help Pastor. Come on here. Come on here now. I see you back there, Vicky. Come on, Vicky, stand up. Come on, you my God daughter. Stand up there. Help me here. Help me up here. Is that true, Freedom? All right. Now when they go unspiritual, we go spiritual. When they go worldly, we go Jesus. How about that? See what happened. When our mind get bombarded with all this world stuff, we try to fight back with rubber bullets. When God says, set it. I mean, I know you got a load on you, but if you go on there and get it up there, you're going to see something better things. See, the Hebrew writer say, Christ is better. He's greater than everything. Hey, you don't have to go back to Judaism, Jews. Because what you got in Christ is better than anything you can ever have under Judaism. See, under Christ, you got a priest that he, because death won't hinder him. You have to have several priests because death wouldn't let him stay. See, I can look at this thing, yeah, my frailty, God, and how the world beat me up and all the things I go through. He said, but I'm continuing. I'm nonstop. I'm interceding on your half, Rick. I see you, man, but I'm interceding. See, I see your trouble, but do you see me interceding? I see your frailties, but do you see me? See, if I stay all on my hurt, my pain, and all of that stuff, if I stay right there, I can't see my Jesus. And I want to see Jesus. I can't see my Jesus. And I ignore all the benefits he had prepared for me in the Word of God. And then I'm telling people Jesus don't work. If I don't tell it with my mouth, I tell it with my actions. I'm saved. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm saved to the uttermost. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I can't get no more saved. You can't. Unless you ain't to the uttermost. And we're right, Brother Parker. Watch this. See, I don't have no room for no more salvation. Salvation of my soul. So why am I going to listen to other false teachers unless, hold up, I really don't believe that I'm saved to the uttermost. Now, Big Mamba, if I'm halfway saved, they can come and fill in the blanks. Am I right? But you got to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that my salvation is complete in Jesus. I got the uttermost kind of salvation. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know what you got, but the kind I got is the uttermost kind. According to the Word of God. Says that, oh man, did you, I got to get, Lord have mercy. I got to, anybody getting anything? Okay, did you put Hebrews 7:25 up? Okay, all right. Now put 8:34, you help me out, Steve. My glasses done start fogging up. Oh man, you're all right. See, when you realize that your Savior is alive, look at this. You can look at this that says, who is he who condemns? See, there's a lot of people condemning folk who are saved. They are. But you need to know all the things I'm saying for you guys who are saved, you need to know you got the uttermost salvation. So then when I go back and look at Romans, it gives me a better understanding of Romans when I've already seen what I got that's saved to the uttermost, and that he's continuing interceding for me. So now I can understand when Paul writes Romans, who is it? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, and I'm risen with him, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. I'm talking about rejoicing. And when I first said that, you may have said, well, I ain't really got nothing to rejoice for. You know all I'm going through. Y'all don't know all the hell I'm catching. Wait. Maybe I don't know that part. But I do know a lot of heaven you ain't catching. I'm throwing it out. But who got a spiritual glove? Shortstop. Who got that spiritual glove? Say, Pastor, I don't want nobody. See, I knew Brother Reed. When the word of God was coming like this, you wouldn't be keeping a whole lot of noise around him. He would give you a look. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because there was a respect that he had, and Brother Bernard too, for that word of God. And sometimes he would look at you like, come on, man, come on. If you don't want it, let me get it. So they go over here, the word of God going forward, turn your head right here. Y'all help me. I got to stay here, though I'm going to mess up. All right? Okay, so if you're taking notes, take this. You see, there are four reasons a believer can't be found guilty. That's where we are right here in Romans. First, it is Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, Christ's exalted position. Watch this now. Watch this. This is our subject. And Christ's continual intercession for the believer. I see with all of this scripture added in, I see why it's uttermost. That's some terrible protection. And you know, with all of that, the world lock us down, man, even in church. My body here, but my mind ain't. I don't even know why I even came today. I can't focus. I'm going to tell you something. We are going to forfeit a whole lot of spiritual blessings down here, and we're going to blame it on God ain't blessing us. Because you decide to be shackled, chained, tied up with the things of the world that you can't get loose long enough to hear the word of God. That stuff ain't really important. Anything that's temporal is not important versus that which is eternal. You ask those who have already gone before us, what's important? The temporal things they left behind, their cars, their money, their check account, or was their relationship with that man up there preaching about? I'm absent from the body. And Rick said, I'm present with the Lord.
I'm up here with it. Preach, boy, preach. Oh, you preaching like that and you have not even seen him. But blessed are they who have not seen Thomas, but yet they believe.
See, you don't have to see for Christ to be impressed with you. He's impressed with your believing in him. Though you've never seen him. You never touch his scarred hands and scarred feet and scarred side. You had the privilege that Thomas had to touch it, but he made a comment. He said, come on, Thomas, I'm going to let you do this because I don't want you to be doubting, but I'm going to tell you about those that's going to be saved through the gospel. Generations and generations from now, Thomas, I'm impressed with them. They are blessed. Why don't you just rejoice? I mean, can you do it for a second? Then go back. See, I'm trying to free somebody. See, there's somebody that feel they ain't got no hope. And I'm saying that's a lie from the pits of hell. You do. You just got to know where it's at.
Okay, let's move on. Not only that one characteristic of his interceding for us, he's active in his intercession. Now, we need to know that God has his heart in this thing. And Matthew 9:36 through 38, can you put it up for Steve? He was moved with compassion. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Next one. Seven. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You see, he was moved with compassion and love, and so he's actively involved in our salvation. Jesus Christ is. Christ have given us the Holy Spirit to help us in our Christian lives. That was one of the first things on his prayer list. He became actively involved in helping happen. John 14 and 16, it says, and I will pray, that's Christ, the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He's forever active in our salvation, in our life, even here. See, the Holy Spirit is living, housed in you. God is so active in our lives that the Holy Spirit is deposited in the believer's body. And it speaks of a war going on between our flesh and the spirit. See, sometimes the things you want to do, you don't do them. That's because the flesh won that battle. Huh? You see, a lot of times we want to criticize people, but when we get more biblical information, we can just say the flesh won that one. Flesh won that one. I don't mean they're not saved. And the flesh will win a whole lot of little scrimmages in our lives as Christians when our minds are not set on things above where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Anybody with me in the house? Anybody love Jesus in this place? It ain't me. I'm giving you the word. Wow. You know, it blew my mind how folk can get so involved with preachers who don't get a word. They just have a silver tongue. But your silver tongue
and your expressions of speech and the things that you do in your charisma can get me all high and this and that, but it ain't doing nothing for my soul. And also, my attention, if I'm not careful, may not be set on above, but it may be set on the individual. But the power I need is called Holy Ghost power. So we got a spiritual enemy, the devil. Rubber bullets ain't gonna work. Carnal bullets not gonna work. Wow. Our attention span is very low. That God can be speaking to us and we turn our heads away to see what other people are doing. Wow, wow, wow. I wonder how important this is. I preach my heart out. It don't seem to matter. It don't seem to matter. Okay. Let me move on. The last one, we come on down. We are looking at the ministry and several characteristics of the ministry that Jesus Christ has seated in heaven on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. The last one is preventive intercession. And when you look at Psalms, see, God don't want us to sin. If you put First John 2, 1 and 2 up for me, Steve. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. It says, my little children, these things I what? I write to you. Hey, look, highlight I write to you. All right? That's a letter. That is an epistle. So remember now, what I'm preaching is what has been written to us. So with the same power, John could say, my little children, these things I write to you. Well, Pastor, when I sat down, you preached to me what God have already written to me. Whatever God have written to me, Pastor, I'm okay with you preaching that to me. Because I see John highlights the written word. He says, my little children, these things I write to you. Watch it. There's a reason for the writing, so that you may not sin. So here's the thing. God don't want us to sin. He don't want us to sin after salvation. We are saved. He don't want us to sin. But he know in this flesh, it just may happen. He don't want it to happen. But that sometimes we lose some of them battles. I like to say there's a thin line between the flesh and the spirit. And you don't always be filled with the Spirit of God. Huh? Many feelings. He says, now, my little children, I write unto you so that you may not sin. Don't want you to sin. And if anyone what? Sins, we have a what? Advocate with the Father. And here's his name, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. You know, who is it? James says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I didn't say that, brother. Didn't say that, sister. Sister Reed didn't say that. Now watch this. If the prayers of a righteous man gonna do something, and it's based on him living that righteous life when he prayed for you. Don't want you living a shabby life and come on, lay hands on me, let's pray. Man, have you confessed all them sins that I know of? That's open. For you pray for me. James said something will happen when a righteous man pray for you. Are you with me? I'm going somewhere. Just be patient with me. But when Jesus Christ, the righteous, is interceding, praying for you, how righteous can you get? The epitome of righteousness is Jesus Christ. And he interceding for you, Alan. If the abundance of blessing I receive because a righteous man praying for me, What am I getting when Christ intercedes to the Father? How righteous is Jesus? Somebody in the house, somebody spiritual in here. I got some Christians in here. You ain't gonna fool me. I know you're connected. Oh. How are we gonna know if we don't do this? How are we gonna know? Oh, we sham and play the game out in the street. And we look worse than unsaved folk. But if we don't want this, how you gonna, you wanna stay there? Remember he said, get your mind off the earth and set your affection, your mind on things above. Well, what's up there above? He said, good question. Jesus the righteous, interceding every day, continually, actively for you and preventative for you. He don't want you to sin. I sin if I want to. You go ahead. You may not need to be saved. Now, let's get the next verse. The next verse, man. Psalms, Fable, 119:11. This that preventeth. What's going to prevent me? Your word. All right, highlight it again, Steve, the word. See, I want you to know your pastor's on the right track if he's preaching the word. Because every time we open the Bible, I see the word. So, pastor, you got to preach the word to me. Because I ain't accepting nothing else if it's going to be spiritual. It got to be the word. Because when I open up my Bible, I see how God speak about the word, rightly handle the word. Huh? Your word have I hidden in my heart. Oh, why have you done that, David? That I might not sin against you. See, the word of God can prevent you from sinning if you hide it in your heart. Anybody gonna help pastor preach? Am I preaching right? I'm just following the scriptures. See, I'm just taking to the scriptures, saying what the scripture's saying. I'm not trying to make nothing up. I'm not good at making things up. Let me say this. God does not delight in our failure. The ministry of Christ as our intercessor works in cooperation with the works of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. Get this for you who are taking notes. The work of his intercession is working in cooperation with the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. So when I use the scriptures and speak about Christ and speak about the Holy Spirit that's in me, it's working in conjunction on our behalf. See, they're not separate, Big Mama. So you want something said to you that's in cooperation with your Jesus who's seated above. And with Janet, your Holy Ghost who's living within. So when that word comes, they bear witness that is all of God. To prevent us from sinning. Because as long as we are in the flesh, we are subject to sin. As we attempt to gain victory over temptation, we have an intercessor in heaven who understands the nature of temptation. He was tempted, but he didn't sin. But you got somebody to say, look, if I wasn't God, I probably would have sinned too. But I understood. You see, You see, he took on a body, holy body, 100% God, 100% man. And yet the world tried to tempt him. Matthew chapter 4, Satan tried to tempt him, didn't it? So he understood the pressure. And then he tried to tempt him when he was weak. 40 days of fasting, led by the Holy Ghost. Now that he hasn't eaten yet, catch him while he's weak. You see, a lot of times sin, y'all, want to catch us when we're weak. Sin want to catch us when we haven't ate any word of God. When we have not deposited the word of God in our heart for preventive medicine against sin. When you hide God's words in your heart, you got a shield against sin. But when the word of God go over your head, go under your feet, you ignore it, everything else is more important than the word of God, not realizing that the word of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are working together in those that have saved to the uttermost, we render ourselves victims to the devil's ways. Won't come, won't eat. How are you growing? Answer is you're not. Let's tell the truth. I'm telling y'all something, saints. God ain't playing with us. But there's help in the word of God. He said, I can feel you. I can feel the pressure on you. I don't want you to sin. But if you do, you got help. Don't let folk tell you, oh, it's over. No, no. Give me some Bible. Not that I won't practice it, don't want to practice it. Maybe that day I didn't hide God's word. Not that I didn't have God's word. Having it and hiding it, there are two H's. Having it and not hiding it, you go sin. Deposit it where when I tempt the word, get in my face. Thou shalt not do that. Then I'm still, it comes back again. Sin won't leave me alone. Crouch at my door, waiting for a weak moment that sin will pounce on me like he did on Cain. Sin lies at the door, crouching like a tiger. This ain't nothing to play with, y'all. I know you think this old crazy preacher, that's his job doing that. But the rest of us can do our thing.